Good morning, everybody. Please do take a seat. And as we think about caring for one another, let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this place, this church, this community. And we ask, Father, that as we start this new series, that you would encourage, challenge us to be the kind of community you want us to be. Please speak to us by your Spirit this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a new series, and it's going to be based around a book, unsurprisingly called Caring for One Another. And the cover looks like this. I'd left it out, you know, to bring it to show you, and do you know what? I forgot. So it sat somewhere, probably on the floor by the front door, you know, so you don't forget stuff. But it's a great little book. It's great for two reasons. It only costs a fiver. The other reason is there's 71 pages, and the chapters are dead short. So it really is a cracking little book. It's an easy read, but it's so practical. And I do encourage you to maybe think about buying one. If you'd like to buy one, if you let Val know in the office or let Alid know, they're coordinating buying these. For £5, it's good. So in the pages of this book, we're challenged to mirror God's care for us as we care for one another. And both our readings reflected that this morning. God says himself, I myself will search for my sheep. God's going to search us out. He's the one ultimately who will rescue and he will care for us. So firstly, God's care. And the second reading that we had, Paul calls us to bear with one another with humility, gentleness, and patience. So there's God's care and there's our care for each other in our fellowship and those we come across. And let's face it, we all have our own little idiosyncrasies, don't we? I mean, if you look around, we're different ages, we're different backgrounds. How on earth does this group of people come together? Well, we're all one in Christ. We're different, but we're united. Paul says himself, there's no slave, no free, there's no male, there's no female. We're all one in Jesus Christ. That's pretty radical, isn't it? It was pretty radical then. And I suggest it's pretty radical now. And that's what the world doesn't have, and that's what the world wants. And it's up to us to share and to show that kind of love in our fellowship, that kind of care out there too. But you might be saying, hang on, Andy, you know what? I've got enough stuff going on in my life to think about caring for others and taking on more people and all that kind of thing. Surely, you know, that's best left to people who are qualified. Those who are paid to do that. Those who wear pieces of plastic round their neck and funny clothes. For lay readers, for wardens. Dave's our new warden, by the way. He was voted. Perhaps it's better for pastoral workers. But you know what? The Lord often uses us, even us who feel very inadequate, those who are humble before him to do that pastoral care in his church. So if you feel weak and unqualified, then do you know what? You are actually qualified. Not only that, you're called. So where does it begin? Let's hear that reading again in Ephesians. I, therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It starts with humility. Our humility, our honesty about ourselves. We find that hard, don't we? Because humility acknowledges who we truly are. Our limitations. And says, I need Jesus and I need others. That openness to our own neediness, our own weakness, opens the door to the grace of God. And it, in turn, it allows us to find that peace, to find that security, wisdom and strength in Him. So where do you fly? Where do you fly when you feel weak? Where do I fly when I feel weak and vulnerable? Do I spend nights tossing and turning? Nights of sleeplessness? Days of anxiety? Paul says, 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this. That was Paul's difficulty, whatever it was. That it would leave me, whatever it was. But he said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weakness, with insults, with hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. And this is the punchline. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. When we fly to the Lord, when we realize that He is all sufficient for anything that we might come across in life, when we admit that we are in reality weak, then God becomes our strength. His grace is truly sufficient. It's humility before God. So how does that work in reality? Well, it should lead us to prayer. To ask God for help, of course. And if we're willing to risk it, to ask others. To swallow that, I'm okay, thanks. That kind of pride that we have. And ask someone to pray for us. To share our difficulties with each other. Maybe we might have tried that before and been hurt or made to feel stupid. Sometimes people have an attitude, don't they? Get a grip. Singularly unhelpful. And we say, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to share it again. If that's the attitude. And that's not the way God wants us to be with each other. In our community here at St. George's. He created us for community. So the first thing is to identify trouble in our own lives. And it's not difficult, is it? It's not difficult to identify trouble. Because it's often round the corner. Whether it be money, work, relationships, health, or our personal walk with Jesus. And then if we can link that trouble with the Word of God. And as you do that, you're joining your life to the promises of God, His grace and His commands. So it might work something like this. Sometimes I find it hard to even pray for difficult things in my life. Would you pray that I know deeply in my heart that God cares and invites me to pour out my heart to Him? So linking how we're feeling to God's word in Psalm 62, which says, trust Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. It's not easy, is it? So linking how we feel with God's word. Or I've been sick for a while and I get so discouraged. Could you pray that I would be able to turn quickly to Jesus when I feel so bad? Linking it to 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what we cannot see is eternal. It's God's way that we seek help from Him, but also from others. And as we do that, as we share with others, we move closer to helping others. As we share with them our difficulties. So remember, you are qualified. Humble, needy helpers are the best helpers. And that was the power of those testimonies that we heard on Palm Sunday. Do you remember? Gwen and Helen shared just a short testimony. And so many people found that helpful and encouraging. Why? Well, because we can relate to it, can't we? It's like, oh, there's somebody else who's going through similar stuff to me. They get it. Thank goodness. And it's such an encouragement, isn't it? When others talk about the difficulties they face, how that helps us also to share with them. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it starts with humility, asking help from God and asking help from others. But it's God, isn't it, who makes the first move. In that Ezekiel reading, I myself will search out my sheep and I will seek them out. It was Jesus who went to seek out the Samaritan woman. It was Jesus who talked about seeking out the lost sheep. It was the returning prodigal who was spotted by the Father who was watching. Those wonderful stories of grace warm our hearts, don't they? This King, Jesus, he comes to our home. What king does that? They're in palaces, aren't they? Not homes. And when he comes, everything changes. Grace. Do not believe the lies that because we struggle, he has left us. He hasn't. We're never forgotten by the Lord. And that should be a model of how we interact with each other here at St. George's and out there. You know, do I look for the easiest person to talk to when we meet? Do I avoid certain people? Do we move towards those who are quieter, perhaps sat on their own? The new person, the person out on the margins. Our fellowship should be outward looking, active and loving more. When we were over in East Leek to see the grandkids, I went to their local church in East Leek, St. Mary's. And I was on my own. And I sat down, found a pew on my own. It's strange being on the other side. It is. I sat down on my own. Stuff was happening around. And this guy came up to me and said, hello, my name is, I can't remember his name. My name is, shook my hand, I introduced myself. He said, do you mind if I sit with you? I went, no. thank you. He said, I've spotted that you're new. Didn't tell him I was a clergyman. He spotted, that would put him off. He spotted that I was new. Forewent his own preference and sat next to me and we had a chat. And I thought, that's really nice. That was really helpful. You see, people won't come back if we don't welcome them. People won't come back if we ignore them. We need to move towards people as God moves towards us. And as we move towards folk, we enter their lives. We enter each other's lives. Jesus listens. We should listen. But you might be saying, well, Andy, that's easy for you. You know, you're an extrovert. You stand at the front all the time. You know, I'm not. And I hate those awkward silences. And I'm really bothered about sticking my foot in it and making a right pig's ear of it. We all need help. We need humility again. You know, learning somebody's name is good, and I'm terrible at it. But it makes a difference when somebody uses a name. I don't know what I'm going to call you on the way out, so please forgive me in advance. But it does. Let's try and remember each other's names. Let's try and make a difference. When baby Ruby, my granddaughter in Australia, was born, Helen went out ahead of me a week ahead. And she went to church and I wasn't there. And we went back the following week. And this elderly lady, she was quite elderly, she remembered Helen's name. It was impressive. She listened to Helen explain why she was in Australia to see baby Ruby. And she asked how the baby was, how the baby was doing. She was moving towards people, moving towards others, listening. What do we ask when we meet somebody new? That's the hard bit, isn't it? Where do you live? Are you working? And as we engage with others, we might hear things that personal hardships, we might be able to respond. We might be able to share in the delight of a new baby. We might be able to share in the sorrow of a loved one departed. And we can offer to pray. Maybe not there and then, but just pray. And if you offer to pray, make sure you do. Write it down. If you've got a memory like mine, write it down often. I'll pray about that. People notice. Can we be the person who understands, as Proverbs 20 puts it, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So it's the first in our new series, Caring for One Another. And I tell you, there's tons, isn't there? There's loads of stuff to practice. Practice caring for one another. Practice bringing everything to the Lord. Practice moving towards one another. Doesn't mean we hound each other. That's not what we're talking about. It's the first steps to caring as we humbly resolve to move towards Jesus as he moves to us, moves to others. Shall we try and be that kind of fellowship? All of us involved in caring for one another, moving towards God, moving towards others. It's practical and it matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace, that when we were far off, you came and met us. Met us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that we would meet others, that we would move towards other folk, that we would be a kind of fellowship that cares for one another, truly, as you care for us. So please, would you lead us in this, Lord? We feel weak, we feel inadequate. Help us to be good helpers. In Jesus' name, amen.